The content of this program is intended for people who are blind and print impaired. Hi there. This is Janice Peary for the North Carolina Reading Service. Welcome to Read to Succeed, a program especially for young children. Our first story today is Miss Nelson is Missing by Harry Allard. Now, this month, October, is the month of Halloween, which occurs on the very last day, October 31st, of October. Now, I don't have any real Halloween stories for you today, but this one is sort of like a Halloween story, and it is called, as I said before, Miss Nelson is Missing, and it's written by Harry Allard. So, here we go. The kids in room 207 were misbehaving again. Spitballs stuck to the ceiling. Paper planes whizzed through the air. They were the worst behaved class in the whole school. "Now settle down," said Miss Nelson in a very sweet voice. She was a sweet and pretty lady. But the class would not settle down. They whispered and giggled. They squirmed and made rude faces. They were even rude during story hour. And they always, always refused to do their homework. "Something will have to be done," said Miss Nelson. Next morning, Miss Nelson did not come to school. "Wow," yelled the kids, "now we can really act up." And they began to make more spitballs and paper planes. "Today, let's just be terrible." "Not so fast," hissed an unpleasant voice. A woman in an ugly black dress stood before them. "I am your new teacher, Miss Viola Swamp." "Where is Miss Nelson?" asked the kid. And then kids. She rapped her desk with her ruler. "Never mind that," snapped Miss Swamp. "Open those arithmetic books." And Miss Nelson's kids did exactly what they were told. They could see that Miss Swamp was a real witch. She meant business. Right away, she put them to work, and she loaded them down with homework. "We will have no story hour today," said Miss Swamp. "Keep your mouth shut," said Miss Swamp. "Sit perfectly still," said Miss Swamp. "And if you misbehave, you'll be sorry," said Miss Swamp. The kids in room 207 had never worked so hard. Days went by, and there was no sign of Miss Nelson. The kids missed Miss Nelson. "Maybe we should try to find her," they said. And some of them even went to the police. He listened to their story. Detective McSmog was assigned to the case. He listened to their story. He scratched his chin. He said. "I think Miss Nelson is missing." Detective McSmog would not be much help. Other kids went to Miss Nelson's house. The shades were tightly drawn, and no one answered the door. In fact, the only person they did see was the wicked Miss Viola Swamp coming up the street. "If she sees us, she'll give us even more homework," and they got away just in time. Maybe something terrible happened to Miss Nelson. "Maybe she was gobbled up by a shark," said one of the kids. But that did not seem very likely. "Maybe Miss Nelson went to Mars," said another kid. But that didn't seem likely either. "I know," exclaimed one know-it-all. "Maybe Miss Nelson's car was carried off by a swarm of angry butterflies." But that was the least likely of all. The kids in room 207 became very discouraged. It seemed that Miss Nelson was never coming back, and that they would be stuck with Miss Viola Swamp forever. Here they heard footsteps in the hall. "Here comes the witch," they whispered. "Hello, children," said someone in a sweet voice. It was Miss Nelson. "Did you miss me?" she asked. "We certainly did," cried all the kids. "Where were you?" "Now that's my little secret," said Miss Nelson. "How about a story hour?" "Oh, yes," cried the kids. Miss Nelson noticed that during story hour, no one was rude or silly. "What brought about this lovely change?" she asked. "That's our little secret," said the kids. Back home, Miss Nelson took off her coat and hung it in the closet, right next to an ugly black dress. When it was time for bed, she sang a little song. "I'll never tell," she said to herself with a smile. And there on her dresser was an ugly black hat and a big, mean ruler. P.S. Detective McSmog is now working on a new case. He is now looking for Miss Viola Swamp. And that is the end of that story. And who do you think was the witch really was? Do you think it was Miss Nelson all along? I think probably so. This next story is called Put Me in the Zoo by Robert Lopshire. This is about a big animal that looks almost like a leopard. It's yellow, but it has big red polka dots. It sort of looks like a dog. Has a little round black nose and a big smile on his face. Long tail. "I will go into the zoo. I want to see it. Yes, I do. I would like to live this way. This is where I want to stay." And the animal is looking at the lion in the zoo, where someone is cutting his hair and cutting his fingernails, and he's enjoying it. And there's a seal standing on his tail, and someone is giving him lots of fishes, right, dropping fish right into his mouth. And the animal says, "I would like to live this way. This is where I want to stay." "Will you keep me in the zoo? I want to stay here with you," he asked two men that work in the zoo. There's a little boy and girl watching him, wondering what on earth this guy is. "We do not want you in the zoo. Out you go, out, out with you." And the men put him out of the zoo. "Why did they put me out this way? I should be in. I want to stay." And it is a huge animal. He's very sad. "Why should they put you in the zoo?" asked the kids. "What good are you? What can you do?" And this is what happens. "What good am I? What can I do? Now here is one thing I can do. Look, all his spots are blue now. And now his spots are orange. Say, he looks very good that way." The kids are really enjoying it. "Now look at this. What do you see? Green spots, as green can be. Violet spots. Say, you are good. Do more, do more. We wish you would." "I can do more. Look at this. This is new. Blue, orange, green, and violet, too. Look at all those spots. Oh, they would put me in the zoo if they could see what I can do. I can put my spots on this ball, and I can put them on a wall. I can put them on a cat, and I can put them on a hat. I can put them on the zoo, and I can put my spots on you." And there he has decorated the zoo wall with red spots, and the boy and the girl that are watching him, they all have big red spots all over them. "Look at this now. 1, 2, 3. I can put them on a tree. And now when I say 1, 2, 3, all my spots are back on me, and everything is just like before. Look now, here is one thing more. I take my spots and I make them 4. Oh, they would put me in the zoo if they could see what I can do. I take my spots, I take them all, and I can make them very, very small. And now, you see, I take them all, and I can make them very tall. Oh, my goodness. And when I want to have more fun, I take my spots and make them 1. And he has one huge spot that he's playing with. Yes, they should put me in the zoo. The things my spots and I can do. See, I put them in a box. I take them out. Now they look like socks. And I can put them way up high. Up, up they go. I make them fly. There's this huge number of spots flying around in the sky. I put them high up in the air. My spots fly here, my spots fly there. I put them back now, 1, 2, 3. Now all my spots are back at me. Tell me now, you two, do you like the things I do? Tell me now, you two, will they put me in the zoo? And the kids say, we like all the things you can do. We like your spots and we like you too. But you should not be in the zoo. No, you should not be in the zoo. With all the things that you can do, the circus is the place for you. And so they all go to the circus. Yes, this is where I want to be. The circus is the place for me. Here he is in the zoo juggling his spots in front of all the people and having the best time after the little boy and girl go with him to the zoo. And now he is a member of the circus troupe. That's the end of that book. Now this book, If I Were a Kangaroo by Melissa Larson, was a book we started last month, but we never got to finish it because we ran out of time. So today I'm going to read you the whole book because it's such a nice book. So here it is, If I Were a Kangaroo. It's a bedtime story. If I were a kangaroo, I'd pick you up and carry you in my pocket, sleepyhead, and hop you gently off to bed. And there goes the mother kangaroo with a little kangaroo in her pocket. If I were a giant whale, I'd sing you songs, low epic tales, fin to fin down in the deep. We'd drift together into sleep. If you were a chick, my dear, I'd cluck a cozy, we're all here, close my wing roof overhead to make a rustling feather bed. There's a hen sitting with all her little chickens underneath her in the straw. Squirrels cuddle in a heap, swaying in their nest asleep. If we slept in that nest up high, the wind would sing our lullaby. If you were a small giraffe, my little spotted knob-kneed calf, we'd nap together, standing tall, rarely lying down at all. And giraffes stand up to sleep. Did you know that? I don't think I did. Feet above and head down below. Bats sleep upside down, you know. If we were bats, at end of day, we'd just be waking up to play. If you were a little otter, side by side, we'd ride the water. On a sea that never ends, in a raft made up of friends. Oh, how fun. If I were a mummy spider, you would be a spider rider, resting with your sisters, brothers, legs, next to each other. And they're the baby spiders riding on a mummy's back. Mum gorillas build a nest where babies snuggle up to rest. If we were them, we'd curl up tight and dream gorilla dreams all night. But you're not a fish, nor bug, nor bird, so hush now, not another word. And there's a mom with her little boy. I'll count your fingers and your toes and kiss you gently on your nose. And then tuck you in and hug you tight and whisper, I love you. Good night. And that's the end of that book. So wasn't that a nice book? I'm so glad I got the chance to read it to you all from start to finish this time. Our next book is called Something Good by Robert Munsch. Taya went shopping with her father and her brother and her sister. She pushed the cart up the aisle and down the aisle, up the aisle and down the aisle, up the aisle and down the aisle. Taya said, sometimes my father doesn't buy good food. He gets bread, eggs, milk, cheese, spinach, nothing any good. He doesn't buy ice cream. cookies, chocolate bars, or ginger ale. And here the brother and the sister of Taya are hopping around buying things they shouldn't, like corn chips and sugary cereals, and they're grabbing bags of cookies. So Taya very quietly snuck away from her father and got a cart of her own. She pushed it over to the ice cream, and then she put 100 boxes of ice cream into her cart. Taya pushed that cart up behind her father and said, "Daddy, look!" Her father turned around and yelled, "Yikes!" Taya said, "Daddy, good food." "Oh, no," her father said. "This is sugary junk. It will rot your teeth. It will lower your IQ. Put it all back." And here is a loaded down cart of ice creams coming out every which way, and popsicles and all sorts of things. So Taya put back the 100 boxes of ice cream. She meant to go right back to her father, but on the way she had to pass the candy. She put 300 chocolate bars into her cart. Oh my goodness, look at that. A huge, huge, huge pile of candy bars piled up in the cart. They're falling off too, because there's just no room for 300 chocolate bars in one cart. Taya pushed the cart up behind her father and said, "Daddy, look." Her father turned around and said, "Yikes." Taya said, "Daddy, good food." "Oh no," said her father, "this is sugary junk again. Put it all back." So Taya put back all the chocolate bars. Then her father said, "Okay, Taya, I have had it. You stand here and don't move." Taya knew she was in big trouble, so she stood there and didn't move. Some friends came by and said, "Hello." Taya didn't move. A man ran over her toe with his cart. Taya still didn't move. A lady who worked at the store came by and looked at Taya. She looked her over from the top down, and she knocked her over from the bottom, and she looked her over from the bottom up. She knocked Taya on the head, and Taya still did not move. The lady said, "This is the nicest doll I have ever seen. It looks almost real." And so she put a price tag on Taya's nose that said $29.95. And then she picked Taya up and put her on the shelf with all the other dolls. A man came along and looked at Taya. He said, "This is the nicest doll I have ever seen. I'm going to get that doll for my son." And he picked up Taya by the hair. Taya yelled very loudly, "Stop!" The man screamed, "Yeah, it's alive!" And he ran down the aisle, knocking over a pile of 500 apples. Uh-oh. A lady came along and looked at Taya. She said, "This is the nicest doll I have ever seen. I think I will buy this doll for my daughter." And she picked up Taya by the ear. Taya yelled as loud as she could, "Stop!" The lady screamed, "Yeah, it's alive!" And she ran down the aisle, knocking over a pile of 500 oranges. It looks like she knocked over some lettuce, too. A whole bunch of lettuce. Then Taya's father came along looking for his daughter. He said, "Taya? Taya? Taya? Taya, where are you?" "Taya, what are you doing on that shelf?" And Taya said, "It's all your fault. You told me not to move, and people are trying to buy me." "Wow!" She started to cry. "Oh, come now," said her father. "I won't let anybody buy you." He gave Taya a big kiss and a big hug, and then they went to pay for all the food. The man at the cash register looked at Taya and said, "Hey, mister, you can't take that kid out of the store. You have to pay $29.95 for her. See, it says so right on her nose." "Wait," said the father, "this is my own kid. I don't have to pay for my own kid." The man said, if it has a price tag, you pay for it." "I won't pay," said the father. "You've got to," said the man. The father said, no. The man said, yes. The father yelled, no. The man yelled, yes. The father and Andrew and Julie all yelled, no. Then Taya quietly said, Daddy, don't you think I'm worth $29.95? And, of course you're worth $29.95, said the father. He reached into his wallet, got out the money, paid the man, and took the price tag off Taya's nose. Taya gave her father a big kiss, smooch, and a big hug. And then she said, Daddy, you finally bought something good after all. And then her father picked up Taya and gave her a big, long hug and didn't say anything at all. And there it is, the end. This book is about Paddington the Bear. I'm sure you've all heard of Paddington, the little bear that loves marmalade sandwiches. Here it is, by Michael Bond, Paddington and the Marmalade Maze. One day, Paddington's friend, Mr. Gruber, took him on an outing to a place called Hampton Court Palace. I think you will enjoy it, Mr. Brown, he said as they drew near. It's very old and has over 1,000 rooms. Lots of kings and queens have lived there. Paddington always enjoyed his outings with Mr. Gruber, and he couldn't wait to see inside the palace. As they made their way through an arch, Mr. Gruber pointed to a large clock. That's a very special clock, he said. It not only shows the time, it tells you what month it is. Perhaps we should hurry, Mr. Gruber, said Paddington anxiously. It's 1:30 June already. They hadn't been inside the palace very long before they came across a room which had the biggest bed that Paddington had ever seen. Queen Anne used to sleep in it, said Mr. Gruber. I expect they put the rope around the top to stop her falling out when she had visitors, said Paddington, looking at all the people. This is known as the Haunted Gallery, said Mr. Gruber. They do say that when Catherine Howard's ghost passes by you, you can feel a cold draft. Paddington shivered. I hope she got a duffel coat like mine, he said. Mr. Gruber took Paddington to see the kitchen next. In the old days, they used wood fires, he explained. That's why there is such a high ceiling. There was a lot of smoke. I was hoping they might have left some royal buns behind, said Paddington, licking his lips. Talking of buns, said Mr. Gruber, I think it's time we had our lunch. He led the way outside, and they sat down together at the edge of a pool. As Paddington opened his suitcase, he accidentally dropped one of his sandwiches into the water. It soon was alive with goldfish. Well, they must like marmalade, said Mr. Gruber. I wonder if that's how they got their name. When they finished their sandwiches, Mr. Gruber took Paddington to see the Great Vine. It's very famous, he said. Every year, they pick over 500 bunches of grapes. Imagine that. I'm trying to, Mr. Gruber, said Paddington. I think I might plant a grape pip when I get back home. A grape pip is the little seed inside a grape. Mr. Gruber chuckled. I'm afraid you will have a long wait, Mr. Brown, he said. That vine is over 200 years old. Wow. Now, said Mr. Gruber, before we leave, we must visit the famous maze. Sometimes it takes people hours to find their way out. Well, I hope that doesn't happen to us, said Paddington. My paws are getting tired. Perhaps it's time I took you home, said Mr. Gruber. Much to his surprise, the words were no sooner out of his mouth than everyone around them began to talk. Hey, that sounds like a great idea, said a man in a striped shirt. Please to wait while I buy a new film for my camera, said a Japanese lady. I've never been inside a real English home before, said another lady. I wonder if they serve tea. "Oh, dear," whispered Mr. Gruber. "They must think I'm one of their guides. What shall we do?" "Mrs. Bird won't be very pleased if they all follow us home," exclaimed Paddington, because there was quite a large crowd at the palace. "She only has one small teapot." And then he had an idea. "Follow me," he called. "I think perhaps we ought to go into the maze after all." "Are you sure we are doing the right thing?" gasped Mr. Gruber as he hurried behind. "Bears are good at mazes," said Paddington. "You need to be in darkest Peru. The forests there are very, very thick." And sure enough, before Mr. Gruber had time to say any more, Paddington led the way out, leaving everyone else, all that crowd, inside the maze. "However did you manage to do that, Mr. Brown?" gasped Mr. Gruber. "Quickest visit I've ever seen," agreed the man in the ticket office. "I used marmalade chunks to show where we had been," said Paddington. "It's something my Aunt Lucy taught me before she went into the home for retired bears." "But I thought you had eaten all your sandwiches," said Mr. Gruber. "I always keep a spare one under my hat in case I have an emergency," said Paddington. "That's something else Aunt Lucy taught me. She would be very pleased when she hears." And he stopped at a kiosk to buy a picture postcard so he could write and tell his Aunt Lucy all about that. That night, when he went to bed, as well as the postcard and a pen, Paddington took some rope. "It's something Queen Anne used to do," he announced. "I've a lot to tell Aunt Lucy, and I don't want to fall out of bed before I'm finished." And that is the end of Paddington and the Marmalade Maze. Now, we have not done tongue twisters for a long time, mostly because my tongue gets twisted. And here's a quick one. Pete Briggs pats pigs. Briggs pats pink pigs. Briggs pats big peas pigs. Don't ask me why. It doesn't matter. Pete Briggs is a pink pig, big pid, pig patter. Pete Briggs pats his big pink pigs all day. Don't ask me why, I cannot say. Then Pete puts his patted pigs away in his Pete Briggs pink pigs, big pigs pen. And I can't say that any faster. It's just too much. I'm going to try the first verse just a little faster. Pete Briggs pats pigs. Briggs pats pink pigs. Briggs pats big pigs. Don't ask me why. It doesn't matter. Pete Briggs is a pink pig, big pig patter. And that's the end of that. And we have run out of time for today's episode of Read to Succeed. Be sure to listen next time. I hope you've enjoyed it. I'm Janice Peary, reading for the North Carolina Reading Service. The content of this program is intended for people who are blind and print impaired. For more information about NCRS, visit our website, ncreadingservice.org. If you have any comments or questions, please call us at 919-832-5138. That number again is 919-832-5138. Thank you for listening to Read to Succeed on the North Carolina Reading Service.